Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. Today, I am joined by Autumn Morgan. She is a creative and a really talented marketer and freelance professional. And today, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things related to creativity, her work, and how she's turned her passion into a career. So welcome, Autumn.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to get into this.
Likewise. So Autumn, can you tell us a little bit about just who you are and the work that you do with authors and creatives?
Yeah, so I primarily focus on organic marketing for authors and creatives, as well as businesses. So I kind of almost have multiple niches that I work in, primarily B2B or B2B SaaS. And then the authors are almost separate, but like still under the same umbrella of Autumn Morgan Consulting, focusing on long form content, email, cold outreach, anything that like falls under the organic umbrella is what I enjoy. But my favorite is graphic design and just the more creative aspects of things. So like social media writing, if it's really fun topics, things like that.
Amazing. And what originally inspired you to get into this kind of consulting and community building work?
So before I started my career, I majored in journalism and minored in psychology. And I really wanted to be a book editor and open my own publishing company. Ended up going into journalism for a time, doing like investigative journalism for NBC 7 News. And then from there, shifted into actual marketing for businesses. So recently, I started working with authors just as a way to kind of fulfill younger Autumn's dream of working in the publishing space, but not actually having to edit things because that isn't necessarily my favorite.
Right. But that's so amazing that you get to now fulfill your lifelong dream in another way.
Exactly. And one of my clients is actually a book editor for fantasy and cozy mystery. So I almost get to like experience that editor lifestyle through working with this client.
Totally. Awesome. So Autumn, what drew you to the freelance or remote work world in the first place?
I really value having flexibility in my life. For a number of years, my mom actually lived with me and I was her primary caregiver. So having that flexibility to like take her to doctor's appointments and go out and about if necessary was really, really necessary for like my peace of mind. Having a standard 9-to-5 would have been really difficult, especially my mom has health problems. So like if she needed to go to the doctor or something, I couldn't just up and leave in the middle of a work day. But if you're freelancing, you're in control of your own schedule, provided that you're actively communicating with your clients and you have a good rapport with them and you know, you get your work done.
So you wanted that flexibility. And was this even before COVID?
It was, yeah. So I've been working full-time as a freelancer for about 3 or 4 years now, but I've always had freelancing as like a side business even before COVID.
And then you just built it up over time, scaled it.
So I co-founded a company called E-commerce Tech. And so that was acquired about 3 years ago and right in line with my honeymoon, funny enough. So it was just like, oh yay, we're married, by the way. I don't have like a full-time source of income anymore. Sorry, honey. And so I almost was like forced to go into it full-time and like build it up without going super slowly as I would have liked. But thankfully I had a bunch of colleagues that I'd worked with and like a widespread network that I was able to kind of take advantage of.
So yeah, actually that was my next question was how did you really transition from the 9-to-5 life into full-time freelance? So it sounds like you answered that. Basically, you built your own company right around the time of your honeymoon.
So like the company I had co-founded, I co-founded like years before we got married. And then it got acquired right in line with my honeymoon. And so it went from like, we got acquired and like I'm working full time on building up this marketplace to now I'm just a freelancer. And like that's my only source of income, essentially. So I'm going to make this my full time gig that I grow now.
Yeah, I'm in a similar stage right now. I was the just regular 9-to-5 employee for years, and I was always too scared to go freelance. And it's challenging. It's definitely very different, but I also think it's really rewarding doing something that you love and you're passionate about. And when it's yours, when it's like your baby, basically, even though you're working, honestly, a lot more. I'm working like sometimes I'll work till like 10 p.m. Doesn't feel like work in the same way.
I agree with you. Like I definitely work a lot more, like work weirder hours. For me, part of that though is I have ADHD. And so sometimes the brain just isn't ready to do anything. And I'll spend the whole day just in a state of like overwhelm or like unable to even get started. But like having the flexibility of like, I don't have a boss breathing down my neck unless you count me being like, I need to get this done. I'm finally focusing. Like, I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, for sure. Totally. Mm-hmm. I have that as well. And sometimes you get like random inspiration at odd hours. Yeah. But also then because you have that freedom, like you said, to take your mom to the doctor or to do things mm-hmm. in the middle of the day, you're also then more motivated because you're like, well, I missed like 3 hours in the middle of the day. So now I'm going to do this at 10 p.m. for sure. What would you say has been the most rewarding part about building your own practice?
I'd say just like getting to experience so many different businesses and just so many different people's passions and seeing what they enjoy and helping them build that. I love building new things. I love working within businesses and seeing them grow from like idea or like ideation phase to, wow, we're actually making a difference and we're fulfilling the passion that created this project in the first place. And being able to help people and companies actually do that is really exciting for me.
For sure. And you make such a big impact, just you, which is awesome, you know?
Like, yeah, you can actually out instead of like working at a 9-to-5 where, you know, maybe you're just looking at spreadsheets all day, you can really see the impact that your work is making on these people, on their lives, on their businesses, and just on their passions in general.
Amazing. Yeah, must be super rewarding. And then what would you say has been the biggest challenge in going freelance and doing building your own business? What's been the biggest challenge?
The ability to like turn myself off from like thinking about work. So I had to set a daily like do not disturb mode on my phone where I do not get notifications until 9 a.m. And after like 8 p.m., I stop getting notifications unless I'm actively looking for them on my phone. And I only like I have Slack on my phone, but I only get notified for like direct messages. Anything else is like, it's on my computer and that's it. So that's pretty difficult. And then sometimes I do miss that, that like collaborativeness or like collaboration that comes from having a team that you work with. But then I just take advantage of the freelance communities that I've become a part of. It's really nice.
Yeah. Are you referring to the Growth Tribe or are you part of any other freelance
communities? Growth Tribe. I also have a few. I have so many Slack communities. At this point, Growth Tribe is a big one. And then I'm also part of Amazing Women in E-commerce and Roaring Ladies in E-commerce. Those two are really great as well.
I didn't know about those. Could you share a little bit about those or how did you find them?
Yeah. So the company I co-founded was an e-commerce marketplace dedicated toward helping connect brands with the right technology tools and service providers. And I was mostly in charge of the events that we put on every month and then building out our partnership and like sponsorship communities. And so these two communities were created by like some of the partners that our company had essentially. So like some of the technology providers. And because I was in charge of partnerships, like I got added in. And I'm basically like a legacy member there now, but it's under my former company's email address that doesn't exist anymore. So yeah, there's like the laziness of needing to change that over to my current one, but also it still works. Why not?
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Yeah, I definitely, by the way, shout out to Growth Tribe. Adam and I actually connected from the Growth Tribe. I think, and I actually discussed this with my mom, who I also had on the podcast. She's an artist, like she paints and just finding a community, especially when you go independent, is so crucial. Mm-hmm. I think that finding other people who get it and feel like they share your same challenges, they share your same struggles, whereas your friends who are working the 9-to-5 life or your family or whoever, they don't necessarily get it in the same way, those same challenges. So I think having other people who've been through it or who are going through it currently really helps in making us feel more supported.
Yeah, 100%. Growth Tribe is where I found a lot of my most recent clients, funny enough. Like over the past couple of years, like they've been through like Growth Tribe introductions.
Amazing. Love that. Mm-hmm. I'm still in the early stages of building up my business. So that's like one of the challenges that I'm finding is just how do you get clients? Obviously, referrals are amazing. And I think a lot of it is just through referrals.
Yeah, I'd say referrals. And then, I mean, it is possible to get clients through cold outreach. All of the authors I work with now actually I got through cold outreach. Wow. Just kind of on a whim. I was part of their ARC or street team, so like getting advanced reader copies or helping promote them on social. And I just reached out and was like, hey, I want to work with authors. Like, do you need anybody? I can do marketing. And they were all really interested in that. So, I mean, that's a very, very niche, but it is something I've seen repeated kind of across industries, not just in the publishing space.
Absolutely. I think like just getting your foot in the door is huge. And I think a lot of people are afraid to do that. They're 100%. Afraid to even try or sell themselves. Or they feel pushy or... I think that's really so much of it is just like not being afraid to be rejected and putting yourself out there.
Yeah. I mean, the worst that you hear, no, that's it.
Exactly.
Like, that's the worst thing that can happen. Nobody's going to be like, oh my God, this person reached out to me and they're horrible.
Yeah.
Everybody expects monster. To get cold pitched.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you're also like actively giving back with like social listening or like engaging with their content, and it's not just a like, what can you give me mentality, and you come at it from a how can we work together or like how can I help you mentality, people are a lot more receptive to. So worst you can hear is no.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I love that as well, like the giver mentality. Like I always try, especially with this podcast, like it's a win-win for everyone, right? Like you're helping each other out. I'm getting my message out. You're getting your message out. It's helpful to everyone. Well, we've talked about this a little bit, but how I want to touch more on this topic of community and building community. Mm-hmm. Where do you find your people? Like how did you find your people as you went freelance and built your own business?
Kind of a combination of groups like the Growth Tribe and then also just going to events. So I do a lot of event marketing for my clients. I actually got a text message this morning from a friend that I met at an event that I sponsored back in, I think it was February or January of this year, inviting me to another event that her company is hosting. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend because I already have travel plans, but you know, that's where I'm getting my community is making friendships. Even like I'm more naturally introverted. But if you can find that like 1 to 2 group of people that you really vibe with, even if it's a big conference, like it makes it feel a little bit more intimate and it makes it easier to feel like you're connecting with them.
Totally. I always say I have like a few phrases that motivate me. And I always say you never regret a workout. And you never regret a networking event. And I think any like big event can be very, even for me, I'm very extroverted, but even for me, it can be very intimidating sometimes to like show up to one of these big events, big conferences, where there's like 200 people in a room. That's overwhelming for anyone. Mm-hmm. So, but I always just say, you know, you'll never regret it because you always enjoy it afterwards. And I think you make such great connections. Just having those, you know, random conversations with people you wouldn't expect to meet and you never regret it. It's always worth it. But it's just like pushing ourselves to go. That's the hardest part.
I love those sayings. And I actually have a similar one that I always say. It's that only you can decide what breaks you. Meaning, you know, if something feels overwhelming or like it's going to be too much, like you can make the decision that it's not and work toward it and do your best. And if it breaks you, that's generally like breaks like a decision. You know, if you say something's too much, you're giving up unless you've like actively tried for it. That's at least a saying that I say to myself, you know, if I think something feels overwhelming. And sometimes, you know, that's also a good reminder for like life when things feel difficult and like the work-life balance feels impossible. You know, you're only given things that you can handle. And if you can't, usually that might be something that like you either haven't figured out the solution for, or you can workshop around it and find a way to handle it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think, you can always like just take something off your plate or like really reprioritize what matters, what's important.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, I love that as well. Great saying.
Thanks.
I'm going to use that going forward. Well, can you share an example of a friendship or a collaboration that grew out of your freelancing life?
Yeah. The biggest one is Derek Haney and Shayna Haney. Shout out to them. They were actually the ones who gave me my start in the marketing space in the first place. And Derek is the person I co-founded that marketplace with. So they've very quickly after hiring me back like a decade ago at this point, became very good friends and we still keep in touch. And I very strongly consider them close friends and mentors. And then more recently, Julie Calnero from the Girth Tribe is somebody that I've become pretty close with, and I definitely consider her a friend, like not just a freelance friend, but like a friend friend, which is always really nice.
Amazing. Have you met like in person ever?
No, we live in completely different states at this point.
I love that. But I love that that's possible nowadays, you know, what a world. Awesome. I know we talked about this a little bit and you mentioned like your boundaries that you set with Slack, but are there any other boundaries you set between work and life when your laptop is basically your office? Like how have you navigated that?
Yeah. So I only open my laptop for work. If I'm not working, it's off. It dies more often than it probably should just because I'm not using it. If I'm not working, like if I want to watch Netflix, it's on my TV. If I want to, even if I want to like look at Amazon, I just go on the app on my phone, unless it's for like ordering something for work for like a client or something. So that's a big one. I just don't open my laptop at all unless it's for working.
That's so smart though. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And then it's like 100% separation between work and life, hopefully.
Awesome. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned to me, not on the podcast thus far, that you're a really big reader and you wanted to work in the literary space. Are there any books that have shaped you in terms of how you think about relationships and community, or any particular books that come to mind?
I actually did grab a couple, like two books.
Oh, you brought them with.
So one is Burnout, The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle. Ooh. This one is really good. It is geared primarily toward, you know, women and figuring out your relationships in the workplace, navigating who you are as a professional, and kind of coming at it from a place of giving yourself grace and understanding. And then the other one is from an event planner that I really love. I've had the opportunity to speak with her a few times just about working together. We haven't had the opportunity to work together yet, but The Art of Event Planning by Gianna Gaudini is very powerful, has some really great tips just like on networking and events and how to make the most of them. And then also how to plan events that give people basically the most bang for their buck, the most opportunities for the time that they've spent at that event.
Amazing. Are there any tips you want to share with the audience from this book? Anything that comes to mind?
I can't remember off the top of my head the exact wording she used, but it was essentially paying attention to the questions that people are asking, like during an event, and using that to shape future events. So like, listen to what people are telling you. Like they're telling you what they care about, what topics they want to hear about, what they want to learn. And that should inform the content for any future events that you're doing, so that you're constantly speaking to your audience's needs and the things they care about.
That's so smart though, because I think we don't do that enough just in general in marketing.
Yeah.
Like we say we're doing all this market research, but that's actually doing it, like really taking to heart what they say. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah. She's a very strong like event planner.
Amazing. Well, I will have to read both of those. I don't do a ton. I've done a little bit of event planning in the past in my career in marketing. I think it's so crucial. Now, it's also so funny to me. Like, I feel like we're in this digital era where everything is online and everything's, you know, e-commerce. But yet, still, after all this time, the most effective way to close deals is in person. Mm-hmm. Like, we get the most connections and the most actual leads from in-person events after all this time. It's just funny. Funny to me.
Yeah. I was in charge of events for a company called Northbeam for about like a year and a half or so, just building out their event strategy. And it was incredible just like seeing all of the different touch points for the events we were going to and how those like culminated into actual revenue for the company, because it was like, oh, we met XYZ person at this event. They introduced us to this person at the next event. And then that person introduced us to this person, and each of them like ended up closing at XYZ time. So it was really fun. Yeah.
So true. I think events don't get enough credit because they are really so crucial.
Mm-hmm. And they are really hard to like track the actual efficacy of. So you have to be very, very conscious of like, I met them here, and like taking track of those touch points. Otherwise, it's impossible to gauge like, did that actually end up with like the close or not?
ROI. And events are expensive as well. Some of these events, it's insane. What's been the highest ticket event you've ever planned? Ballpark.
So this was for a company in the healthcare space. I think our budget for that sponsorship was about $150,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a lot. I've heard of even more though. Like that's huge. Some of these events I've heard, like CES, for example, some of the booths there are like 250K, million. Crazy.
Yeah, this was for Health 2020, I think 3 or 4. It was pretty big.
150K. No big deal.
Yeah.
No biggie.
And they had spent more in previous years. It was just that happened to be the budget for last. It was last year.
Mm-hmm. No pressure.
Right?
No big deal.
It was designing the entire booth from scratch, like working with vendors, figuring out what the swag would look like. So I got a Walla water bottle out of it, which was
I think a lot of people who don't work in events don't realize how much work goes into every little detail. Every little item, every little factor is like, wow, so much work, so much planning.
And then just like figuring out who from like your company is going to attend. Many changes, I feel like, happen all the way up to like the day the event starts. So you're constantly like changing the names on the back end, and then that can cause complications at the event.
Actually, that was a question I have for you as well, was just like, how do you keep track of all, do you have like templates? Do you have like, I don't know, is it all in Google Sheets? Do you have like a Monday board? Do you have multiple platforms? Like, how do you keep track of all these event logistics?
I'm a big proponent of Notion. So like, I scream into the rooftops all the time, get all of my clients on it. I actually did a small Notion training for Growth Tribe a few months ago, just because I was like, I want everyone to know how to use it. I even use it for personal stuff. So I do D&D with my husband and friends in my spare time. So like I use Notion to keep track of like the entire story and like what that campaign is going to look like.
Wow. I love it. I'm the same. It's funny. I've used all these tools. I've used Notion. Mm-hmm. I've used Monday. I've used Jira, Asana, basically all of them.
Trello, all the things.
Yeah, wait, Trello, there's ClickUp. I've used basically all of them and they're all essentially the same, but that's why I was curious. Like, so you prefer Notion functionality? Is it the pricing? Mm-hmm. Like, what exactly do you like the most about Notion as opposed to the other tools?
I like the functionality a lot. Like it has the ability to almost like create anything you can think of. And if you have a hard time putting that into action, there's hundreds of templates to choose from too. Yeah. So you're never at a loss of like what to use for like tracking information, keeping track of like your tasks that need to happen, any subtasks assigned to that. And it's easily shared with people like across departments.
Yeah, I like Notion as well. I like Monday. I don't know. I think I like the colors. Like it's just like very, very easy to see visually. I don't know. I've really used all of them. I like Jira also. I feel like more technical roles, they use Jira a lot. Just depends. Depends on the team or your needs. I like them all though. I've used them all.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess you can just use Excel or something in lieu of these tools, but these tools really do help, in my opinion.
They do help. Yeah. My like 1-2 punch is Notion and Superhuman. Superhuman for keeping track of my inbox, Notion for keeping track of everything else.
Awesome. I don't know Superhuman. What? It's like an automation for your inbox?
It's basically like a secondary email login-ish. Like you can log into all of your emails through it. And so you can have all your inboxes basically in one place. There's a way to create templates for like messages that you're sending like on the regular. You know, you can like use that template instead of having to find your old stuff and figure it out. And also set automatic reminders to follow up with emails if you haven't heard back from people. If it's somebody you want to keep in touch with or a former client, you want to touch base after 6 months, you can set a reminder for 6 months in the future so that they pop up in your inbox and you're like, oh yeah, that person, let me check in and see how they're doing. Instead of, I've seen some freelancers do it manually with a spreadsheet. Others just try to rely on memory and hope for the best, but it's been really helpful for keeping in touch with people.
Superhuman. Okay. I'll put that Superhuman. In the links for the podcast.
Yeah.
Awesome. I wanted to talk a little bit about your work with authors. I know you mentioned you work really closely with authors. What has that taught you about storytelling and human connection?
It's all about finding, you know, the people that you vibe with, whether for authors, like your audience, the people who will truly understand where you're coming from with your book or like your writing style, but also paying attention to the human experience and remembering that everybody has struggles and nobody's perfect. And it's in that imperfection that you can really make a true connection from person to person. Yeah,
that's a great way of looking at it. So true. I think we're all flawed, or we're all like weirdos or what, in different ways. Yeah. And I think I'm noticing now in this world of AI, especially with all this like AI created content, mm-hmm. what people are really craving right now is something flawed and something mm-hmm. genuine and human. Like, yes. That's what makes us human, is our flaws, and we're not robots. And I think that's a great way of putting it, like how we can connect with other people and their stories is especially through what makes us unique and what makes us flawed, if you will.
Yeah. Perfectly imperfect is what I always call it. And I mean, if you think about like your closest friendships, those are the people that more often than not have similar flaws to you or similar imperfections, things that they're struggling with. Maybe they have similar struggles or similar personalities, but those are the basis for that connection. And it's the same whether you're going to an event or you're reaching out to somebody with a cold message, hoping to work together. It's figuring out what that point of similarity is in that perfect imperfection. And then that's where you're going to make the connection. It's not just by coming across as another corporate zombie or sending the same
AI
ChatGPT AI created spiel that they just puked out in the last like 30 seconds. I think AI absolutely has a place, but it should not be a replacement for genuine human connection.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we're craving this more and more in this new era of AI. Like, we really want, I don't know, the rawness, the realness. I don't know. It's more human, I guess. We miss the human touch. I feel this way, at least. Yeah. Well, are there any novels or stories that really capture the importance of belonging and friendship to you that come to mind?
Let me see. I'm like looking at some of them.
Did you bring them?
I didn't. No. One of them, though, is by, well, no, that one's not. That's NSFW. This, there is one by actually one of the authors I'm working with. It's a duology. And it is, the first one is A Song in the Storm, and the second is An Ember in the Wind. And basically, it is a fantasy, like an epic fantasy duology, but it has a lot of elements of like found family. And it doesn't matter if people say that you're flawed, what truly matters is who you are on the inside and how you externalize that and how you treat others. And it was just a really powerful story. And that's actually why I reached out to this author to work together, because I loved her writing so much. So it is A Song in the Storm and An Ember in the Wind by Riley Knight.
Okay, awesome. I will link those in the description as well for the episode.
Perfect.
Well, we talked a lot about events and event planning. Maybe we can get into that a little bit more. How do you see events as helping people build real connections?
Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of already touched on this a little bit, but events, people tend to be very sleep deprived. So they're almost their realest selves, you know, because there's less of that barrier in place that people naturally kind of put up that like that mask because you're half asleep, you're tired. You've maybe gotten 3 hours, your flight got in at midnight, and then you had to get up at like 4 to get dressed so you could be on the show floor at 6 or something. So everybody's a little bit more like raw and real. And that can be very daunting and scary, but it can also be a beautiful opportunity to find that perfect imperfection that we've been talking about and figuring out everybody is there to further their career or further their place in society in some way, shape, or form. But like everybody has a reason to be there. It's not that they don't necessarily want to. And if you can remember that and remember that like everybody's going to feel nervous or shy in some way, shape, or form, I think that can help build better, stronger connections.
Totally.
And then too, remembering that you don't have to come from an event with like 500 new connections. If you just meet one or two people you vibe with, that's a success, because even a one-off conversation at an event can and has, I've seen for me and for other creatives that I've worked with, lead to further work down the line.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. Even just one meaningful connection is like such a success, in my opinion, as well.
100%. Like the person that texted me this morning, I think was the only connection that I really vibed with at that event that I sponsored. But, you know, we went out to lunch together. We spent like most of the event together because we enjoyed being around each other so much. And then she texted me this morning about going to this event and like, we're still keeping in touch. And I think those are the most powerful connections, like the unexpected ones.
So true. And you never know who you'll meet.
Yeah, you'll meet, like, exactly.
A close friend, the love of your life. You just could meet at an event. Never know.
You never know.
Yeah. I've made some pretty good friends just from going to networking things. So yeah, you really never know. Do you have any advice? Well, going off of that, especially, do you have any advice for introverts when it comes to going to an event, whether they find it intimidating or they're just a little scared to go? Any advice you would give them?
I mean, if you're really looking for a way to like start a conversation, go to the food table.
Oh,
people love talking over food. Whether it's like, oh, do you know, like, is the bread any good? Or like, have you tried the pasta yet? Or are there gluten-free options available? I wish they had gluten-free options available, or insert other food dietary restriction here. Even if you're starting with the most inane conversation, that can lead into a deeper connection because it's like, oh, hey, you know, we have a spot like at our table. If you want to come sit together, like come sit with me. Do you have a spot yet? Or like, do you have lunch plans? Let's get together. And then that can almost spiral into a better conversation. So just go stuff your face. Like you'll enjoy the food. Or even if you're not hungry, get like a tea or a water or a coffee or like some sort of a beverage. And like, people tend to open up more when food is involved.
So true.
It's actually something I learned in psychology, like when I was studying for my minor. When you're eating, your fight or flight response in your brain actually tells you that you're safe, which is why you feel a little less nervous if you're eating and like you're stuffing your face or you're drinking something. It's same as if you're like running like water on your wrists or whatever. Like your body and brain are just saying, oh, I'm eating. I'm in a safe place. I'm okay. So even if that means like grabbing like a bowl full of carrots or something, that is a simple and easy way to make a connection without having to like insert yourself into existing conversations.
Wait, that's so smart. I never thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right. I think like whenever there's food or whether it's a drink or food or whatever. Wow, that's so smart. And that's such a good idea. And I actually had a whole, like my first episode, I talked about like, how do you make friends as an adult, basically. And one of the things I suggested is just either giving people compliments. So just like, oh, I love your bag, or I love your shoes, or whatever you can think of. Or just finding ways to engage in some small talk. And food is actually a genius way. I never thought about that. It's so true, because people, they love talking about food. And as you mentioned, just psychologically, their fight or flight is turned off. That's so genius. I love that. Amazing. Okay. Well, can you share any story where you saw community really come alive through an event that you helped with?
Yeah. So this was with my old company that I co-founded. But we had our first in-person conference, which is really exciting. And the first night we had like a happy hour it wasn't like a scripted happy hour where it's like from this time to this time we're having it. It was just kind of like a show up if you can. And people were coming in from the airport. They still had their bags and were just like, oh my God, I want to see if like so-and-so is here yet. Like, let me run over before I even check into my room. And it ended up turning into like, I think it was like a 6-hour happy hour / dinner / just hangout. That wasn't even like, it wasn't scripted like you usually see at big conferences. It was just the night before the conference. We were like, we're going to do a small happy hour. You're welcome to stop in if you're free. And it turned into more of a community event than even the scripted things the like the next couple of days across the conference. So seeing that was really fun, and just like watching the connections get made and like the almost like the little groups that people inevitably like create at conferences, like seeing those happen in front of my eyes was really fun.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. It sounds almost like a wedding rehearsal dinner or something, like the night before.
A little bit. Yeah.
But sometimes those are the best. Like when, I don't know, when things feel too forced or too like cookie cutter, sometimes people are less inclined to connect. Whereas if it's just organic bonding, that's sometimes the best way for everyone to meet each other and connect. And amazing. Love that. I've had similar experiences like with previous companies before events, just like meeting people that you never met in real life. Like you're on Zoom for months and months together, and then you finally get to meet them in real life. It's so exciting. It's so special.
Some of my favorite moments for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, in your view, what makes a difference between surface level networking and authentic relationship building?
Yeah. So I think it comes back to that like giving back mindset. The surface level networking is like, what can you give me? What can I get from you? Can I get a sale? Can I get money? Can I get a job intro? You know, can you give me something? Authentic relationship building comes from a giving first mindset, you know, with a, you know, how can I help you? You mentioned you're struggling with XYZ. I'm happy to take a look if you want. No charge. Or, oh, I know somebody who does that for a living. Let me intro you. Like, let me text them really quick and I'll get you their number or like send you their calendar link. And like the authentic relationship builds from there because like we were talking about with like cold outreach.
Yeah.
Everybody expects to be cold pitched, but nobody expects necessarily for you to reach out with a, how can I help you? Or like, here is almost like free information versus here's something behind a paywall of like, I won't tell you anything until you pay me or until you give me something. That's it's true. Also why like the best influencers are the ones that give information for free because it's like, wow, they're giving all of this information for free. That's amazing and helpful. Yeah. And it literally is like making my business make money just from 5 minutes of being implemented. What are they charging things for? Like, what do they have behind the paywall if their free stuff is so amazing? And that's how you get the genuine connection, either through one-to-one relationship building or through corporate. It's always about having that give first, ask maybe later, if not never, kind of a mindset. Because when you give, people are more likely to want to give back to you.
So true. Yeah, I completely agree. I have a whole post about that on LinkedIn as well, about just like being a giver, both in work and in life. And if you want to get into like the woo-woo stuff and the karma and all of that, but like, basically, yeah, if you give first without expecting anything in return, just giving, you really will see the fruit of that much later on develop, and it comes back to you in the end, right? Everything
100%
take. Yeah, totally. Love that. If someone listening wants to build stronger friendships as an adult, what advice would you give them?
Definitely don't be afraid to join clubs. If you enjoy cooking, take a cooking class. You never know who you'll meet there. If you enjoy reading, Threads is really big for like the book talk or like bookish community. Wow. Authors are there, like actively there talking to their readers. Readers are there screaming into the void about what they liked or disliked. Like there's like a reading community on Threads that is huge. If you enjoy event planning or like you're a freelancer, reach out to other freelancers. Like even if it's a cold message, just like a, hey, I saw that you're doing XYZ. I know someone there, would love to meet in person, or I know that there's an event happening in your area. Don't be afraid to reach out and don't be afraid to try new things. Even if that means joining a sports club, cooking class, anything, because you never know who you're going to meet. And guaranteed, other adults are having the same difficulties building new friendships as you are.
Totally. Yeah. It's a very lonely, isolating world. And I think any chance we get to connect, even in the smallest way, has such a big impact. What tips do you have for other freelancers or remote workers who want to avoid isolation?
It can't hurt to go to like a co-working space or a coffee shop, or barring that, if you do live in like the middle of nowhere, or it's just not feasible to spend the money or to like go elsewhere, try joining communities like Growth Tribe. Reach out to other freelancers. You can even do, I've done this with a few friends. We call it our like body doubling days, where we're not even talking. We just have each other on Zoom and we're getting our work done at the same time. Like a conversation once or twice, but otherwise it's just,
they're just there in the background.
They're just the ADHD body double to like help you get the work done that you need to.
That's so smart.
It has that added feeling of like being in an office environment where you're not talking to your coworkers. You're just all getting your work done together at the same time.
That's so smart. I've never heard of that. How did you come up with that concept?
So I mentioned her earlier, Julie Calinaro and I both have ADHD, and we were both struggling one day, and we were just like, let's just do a body doubling day. Like, I don't need to talk to you. I don't need a friend today. I just need someone to sit with me so I actually do the stuff that's been on my list for the past 2 weeks. It worked out really, really well.
Wow. Such a cool concept. I'm going to have to try that. That's genius. Okay. And then last question, what have you learned about investing in relationships that truly matter from all of your life and work experience?
Yeah. I mean, you can never go wrong with investing in those relationships that truly matter, because at the end of the day, like, the work's not going to be there. It's really not life or death if you get that email out tomorrow. What is life or death is spending your important moments with the people that you care about and making them the priority. Because in an ideal world, work life should not be a balance. It should be work is much less of a priority than your life and your ability to live it and the people who are in it and who make it the life that you're living.
So true. Yeah, you're so right. And I think in so many professions, people spend so much more time on work than with their loved ones. And we should prioritize both. Life is more important, though. You're right. Even more than work.
You get the money from work, but you know, that's not going to keep you warm at night. That's not going to give you that human connection. Yeah. Humans are.
So true. Yeah. Okay. So now I want to do a little rapid fire. Just say the first thing that comes to mind when I ask you each of these questions. What's your favorite book of all time?
I honestly don't really have one, but I do have favorite authors. So Gina Showalter is one that has been really powerful for me most of my life. One of my favorite authors.
If you could have dinner with any author or creative, who would it be?
I mean, I would definitely love to get all of the people in Growth Tribe that I've interacted with and actually meet them in person. I think it would be so fun, because I've had coffee chats with them and conversations, but we've never actually gotten to meet in person. And I would love that opportunity to do one big event where it's all the Growth Tribers are together and I could meet the people that I've actually become friends with or interacted with.
That's a really good idea. Maybe we should bring that up. We can talk about that offline. Okay, awesome. And what's one ritual or practice that helps you recharge?
So I meditate every night before getting ready for bed. Nice. And then I also, I try to go on daily walks, just, you know, step away from the computer, leave the phone, or put it in my husband's pocket, because then I can't reach it. And just be in nature, or at least just outside in the fresh air.
Awesome. Yeah. Super important nowadays, especially. And last question, what's the best place you've ever traveled for work or for fun?
I loved Italy. It was Lake Garda, Bartolino, Italy. And then there's also, it's called La Chiesa della Madre, I think. But basically, it is a church built into the rock face of a mountain in Italy, just outside of a national park that they have there. It was the most gorgeous place I've ever been. Just so green, and definitely recommend going if you have the opportunity to. It's near Verona.
Amazing. Jealous. Yeah. Have to add it to my list. Well, Autumn, where can people find you? Where can they connect with you and learn more about your work?
Yeah. So my handle on most social media is Autumn R. Morgan, or you can find me on my website, autumnmorganconsulting.com.
Awesome. Okay. I'll link both of those in the notes. And finally, what's one last piece of encouragement you'd like to leave our listeners with when it comes to building meaningful connections?
You know, the best connections come from the most unexpected moments, whether that's standing in the grocery store line and commiserating with somebody over how long it's taking just to be checked out, or by going to an event and making conversation with one or two people. Don't be afraid to, you know, stand by the food table and talk about the options. And all of the difficult moments are things that you can handle because you are strong enough to do so. And that includes making connections with people, even if it feels difficult.
Totally. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. I'm the same. Think the same. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Autumn. I had a wonderful discussion. Loved having you on here. Thank you all for listening to Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. We didn't save the world today, but we had a really interesting discussion, and I hope you have a lot of great takeaways when it comes to events, creativity, freelance work, and just how to make connections in 2025 in this weird world that we're in, isolated world that we're in. So thank you so much for listening to Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. and have a wonderful day.
Bye, everyone.